All right, we're live. Welcome back to the Loopcast. Apologies for being a few minutes late. We got some tech issues going on, but today, joined by me and Josh. I might have buried the lead in the title, but hopefully we'll be joined by a very special guest coming later. But today, I'm with Josh right now, and it is actually a feast day, St. Fidelis' feast day. If you guys pay attention till the end of the show, that is someone I do pray to for this show at the end of every show. So Josh, why is St. Fidelis significant to you and Catholic Vote?
Well, when we started this organization back in 2005, we did not actually have Catholic Vote as the name. We didn't have the website catholicvote.org at all, actually. And that's another whole funny story. But so we had to come up with a name for our organization. And while one of our cohorts, Joe, was at Mass, he heard, Adeste Fidelis, and he's like, Fidelis, that's totally what we are. We are the faithful. And so that became the first name of our organization. And, so we took St. Fidelis as our patron. And I'm a big fan. You learn more about the saint's life, but like he's got this memorable quote. We just had it. We put it in the loop this morning. I thought it was very well done. It shows a image of the crown of thorns, and it says, "Woe to me if I should prove myself but a half-hearted soldier in the service of my thorn-crowned captain."
That's a Fidelis quote.
That's St. Fidelis right there. So
I think most people probably don't know who he is, but have heard that quote. I've definitely heard that quote.
It's a pretty amazing quote. I mean, it's great. And so he was a lawyer who's like the poor man's lawyer, and he, dedicated himself to helping other people, and then he entered religious life and was just, a great man of faith. And so we want to celebrate his life, and we also just like the name, and we like his attitude. I mean, that quote, it keeps inspiring me. So I'm a big fan of St. Fidelis, and it's a good day. Good day to celebrate. So
sweet. So here's what I'll do.
Even though we're now Catholic Vote, even though our name is now official Catholic Vote, we're still legally Fidelis. And so we still honor St. Fidelis.
So here's what I'll do, Josh. I'll say, "St. Fidelis, pray for us." And I'm going to make the sign of the cross for the video.
Yes.
For the video audience here, but also for the audio. I just made the sign of the cross. Someone else made the sign of the cross. I don't know who he was praying to, but President Biden made headlines yesterday. And we clipped this immediately. I think Brian got on that right away. He was at an abortion rally in Florida, joined by Nikki Fried, a pro-abortion candidate that lost to DeSantis in the Florida race.
But actually, she lost to Chris, who lost to DeSantis. But yes, exactly.
Thank you for the. But she's a big fan of abortion. Let's put it that way.
Huge so fan.
Let's just run the clip. Let's just run the clip here. Uh-oh, do we have the clip?
Well, just to set it up while they work on the clip, there's a lot of abortion amendments all across the country, and Florida has one as well. Florida's got a really solid pro-life law that first they started at 15 weeks, and they had a fight to get the Florida Supreme Court to allow them to have permission to protect babies at 15 weeks. And then DeSantis is like, no, let's go further, and he got a heartbeat bill, which basically right around 6 weeks or so. And so he strengthened Florida's already, pro-life law, made it even that much more stronger, which is awesome. And obviously, there's a lot of abortions that were happening in Florida at the time. And so this was, this is causing the abortion industry, costing them a lot of money. But now the amendment in Florida this November will require a 60% majority.
And then we.
All right, go ahead, run the clip.
And then we come back here to state of Florida, where Ron DeSantis felt like he needed to run for president. And so 15 weeks wasn't good enough. We had to go to 6 weeks.
There he is.
What are we?
Now, if we want to be really, this just is so vile, right? He is literally invoking Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? As they're talking about abortion. He's got a little smirk on his face, too, if you notice it, too. And if I wanted to be really sensitive, in fact, it's like when I do a sign of a cross, I actually do it in the shape of a cross, whereas his was like, if you notice, actually very
upside very down like, cross,
almost like an upside down cross. Yeah, I kind of,
I saw a lot of people actually saying that. That wasn't
interesting, but this is absolutely par for the course when it comes to Joe Biden. He's a man who always has ashes on his forehead on Ash Wednesday. Always he talks about his rosary beads, and that's all done to try to say, I'm blue collar Joe, I'm a Catholic, and by the way, support me and vote for my candidacy. And now he's using it to promote abortion at every turn. I mean,
the fact that he was there should be warning bells enough, right? He's listening to Nikki Fried basically condemning saving lives by pushing that abortion ban, like lower or whatever. The whole
right, but he's not just a spectator, of course, as you know.
No,
he's there. The whole purpose of this speech, he planned it a week in advance. I'm going to Florida. He says, I'm going to give a talk on abortion. And he keeps talking about abortion, quote, rights, and women are being attacked and all this kind of stuff. I have a question for you Catholic lefties out there. How can you support this man? It's not like Bill Clinton, where he's talking about safe, legal, and rare. He is supporting abortion at every turn, and he wants you to pay for it. It's disgusting. No. Hey!
I made it!
Many of you may recognize this voice. Erica.
I'm so happy.
Welcome back to the show, surprise guest. Well, it was in the title, but surprise now.
Where's Erica? Yeah, Ariel, here I am. Satan was sticking his tail in the technology. Let's just put it that way. Holy smokes, what's going on?
Although St. Fidelis came through for you.
Thank Amen. You. I know. I was praying to St. Fidelis and Maximilian Kolbe, who is my go-to tech genius. Just wanted to put that out there.
So before we get into your thoughts on a Catholic president campaigning on abortion and making the sign of the cross during abortion talk, Erica, you decided to come back. How was everything? It's been a while since you've been able to talk to the audience here.
It has been. So I had a baby 6 weeks ago, little Isaiah. There he is. For those of you on YouTube, you can see a picture. There he is in his double-breasted elbow patch. He's channeling Yale. Very Yale vibes there, which is unfortunate. We have to talk to him about that.
Well, you're reinforcing your stereotype of being an East Coast elite.
I am with my baby's outfit.
Well, he can go down to Yale and defumigate, you know.
That's right. Maybe he could help. No, he would fumigate. The little guy's a little stinker. So
yeah.
He's great, though. He's wonderful. It's been amazing, I have to say. Having a baby when you have teenagers in the house, it's totally different ball game. They've been great. My husband's amazing. It's just been a great time. So thanks for saving my spot, but I missed you. I missed you guys so much. So, I'm really happy to be back, in between feedings. Here I am.
The feeling is mutual. Well, I have a few questions. If you had to grade us for how we did in your absence, because it was tough. It was tough. I'm going to say it, but how did we do? What have you felt like the show has done well or changed to positive, and maybe some things we could work on? Give us some pointers.
Oh man, that's hard. So yeah, I've probably listened to, you know, like 50-60%. And, I have to say, shout out to all of the rotating subs that you had. I mean, McCluskey, I laughed, I cried. Logan gets the grade for most improved trajectory over the course of her subbing in. And what can I say about Brian Birch? I mean,
He pays our salaries.
Brian was the best. Yeah. I'd give you a solid B, like old school grading. I'm not this like inflationary grade giver.
Fair. I like it.
B. So
I'd prefer a DEIA, but yeah. We are both white men.
You're so white males. You're not getting an A. No.
Dang it.
Maybe Kara. Kara, you were great too. Thank you.
Yes.
Solid B. I loved it. It just seems to like flow together. Your transition story to story have really improved. Josh, you're just more and more yourself. Josh, but your lighting is
look
like
at that
your
light.
Camera work. I was like, who is this man? That was great.
What have you been doing?
You can thank Rez for that, man.
So you privately revealed to me you didn't have a traditional maternity leave. You took time to take Hillsdale courses. Is that what I heard? Hillsdale courses? Is that what you're doing?
Yes. I lived up to my promise, which was made on this podcast, on the New Year's special. I took the foreign policy Hillsdale course. It was great. I highly recommend the Hillsdale courses. I might drop some trivia for Josh as the weeks unfold here, because their quizzes were that you take a quiz after every lecture. And some of them, I think, would even challenge Josh. Michael Anton was the lecturer for the course. And I learned a lot. I have to say, really kind of
made me think about. And Josh,
he's a sharp thinker.
Yeah, he's really sharp. And Josh, you might even overcome your ennui when it comes to discussing foreign policy and foreign aid. If you took this course, you'd get so excited.
Right? All right, maybe. But I mean, you know, Michael Anton would make it interesting. He's the guy that wrote the essay at Flight 93 election back in 2016. So I found his, he's one of the sharpest, interesting thinkers of the day. So I like him.
Yeah, so, charge the cockpit.
Did you figure out what we're actually doing in Ukraine?
Or? we are continuing a multi-decade foray into a morass of meaninglessness. It's just, it's like, this is not new. I think that was the best thing, because I only started paying attention to this stuff coming on to Catholic Vote, and it can feel very new and shocking and like, oh my gosh, 60 billion. But this course gave me so much perspective. I mean, we've had our tentacles and stuff progressively since the progressives, all the way back to like Teddy Roosevelt, 1898. And then, of course, amping it up with the neoliberalism and neocons and all that. So it gave me perspective on Ukraine, even if I'm still like, what is going on? It's good to have perspective because reality matters.
For sure.
Sort of the MO.
So, thank goodness you came in first off, because Josh and I are a little bit at a loss for words with what we just saw with President Biden.
Oh, man.
Strong thoughts. I'm not at a loss.
Josh has never been at a loss for words.
You just can't say the words out loud because it's a family show.
Can't say them on a family show.
That's probably true. That's probably true.
Eric, what were your thoughts though on Biden's little foray down there in the swamp?
Yeah. So making the sign of the cross, it was already bad, and you knew he was going to go down there to push this extremist abortion agenda. You knew the talking points before he showed up, but then to see the video clip of him making the sign of the cross like that, and just I rarely speechless, but I'm going to have to say there aren't a lot of words for it other than what we posted, which was vile. It's vile and it is sacrilegious. And honestly, I got a little like frightened for the guy, because you know he's pushing what, 80 something, and you're going to stand before God sometime in the next 20 years, and I wouldn't want
to. I'd tell him not to be anywhere near tall buildings, is all I got to say.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not just, I agree like about the person's own soul that we are concerned about, his own salvation. That's true. But I would say that more about like, let's say a senator, let's say.
Yeah.
But now that he's the leader of our country, I am a little bit more worried for all of us. Because he is, I mean that. I mean, he is our leader and he is mocking God. They're talking about the dismembering of babies, the killing of babies.
Yeah.
And he's invoking the sign of
Christ's passion. Right.
And it's like, well, wait a minute now. Hold on a second. We know from the Bible, Galatians, make no mistake, God is not mocked.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like I worry for my own country, not just for his own soul, which I do care about his own soul. But it's like, we got to get rid of this guy. We should, you know, that was the thing. Remember, we got lectured by a lot of liberal Christians. How dare you have Trump? He was with Playboy models. And he's
still getting lectured.
And he's so mean and vicious. And he's just kind of a jerk, and then it's like, well, you know what he's not doing? He's not doing this. He's not invoking the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit as he's talking about dismembering babies. So we need to remove him from office.
I think there's some moments that go beyond.
Is that Josh or me?
Oh, the click? Not sure. Yeah. But there's some moments, I'm actually happy that this happened in some ways, because there's some moments that go beyond what people fight about on Twitter or what politicos see in Politico or in CNN or whatever. Like, I think showing this video to an average Catholic in America, maybe one that's not even super politically involved, nothing becomes more clear what the problem is. It was like a 5-second synthesis of the problem that we're dealing with right now that political people have been shouting about, because we were even talking on this. There's so many, Erica, you said you came back and all of a sudden all the things Catholic Vote petitioned on to protect from abortion are now being weaponized and put into law. So for example, like OSHA or whatever, like there's all these HIPAA, very technical.
EMTALA, right.
Right. All of those. And for people that pay attention to that, that's a problem. It's hard to get that to the general public. we just got that to the general public in 3 seconds. And that clip's probably going to be played smartly by Trump every 5 minutes campaign trail. Like, look, Catholics, this is what we're talking about, right? If you're pro-life and you care about it, we're talking about someone making the sign of the cross, talking about bringing more abortion to the country, to killing more babies. Nothing became more clear. I think it's going to reach a much broader audience than even the Loopcast or people that are really engaged. And I think in a really, hopefully positive way, in a way that reveals truth.
Yeah. And I think we were talking, you might've already said this, and I apologize for my tardiness to the conversation, but you were saying earlier how people who don't pay attention to politics and maybe have no idea what's going on in Florida with Amendment 4, et cetera, this is the kind of gesture that goes viral. And like you said, I'm glad it happened too, because it exposes what is actually going on and confirms you guys were talking Monday on the show. I was listening in about this is a spiritual battle. And you don't say that to, like, you know, cop out of things and say, well, we're just going to pray and all that. But I think it's recognizing the reality that there's powers and principalities that are going on here. And America is, for better or for worse, the global superpower. So it's not even just Biden. Biden isn't even just the figurehead. Who knows who's pulling the strings behind him right now? But Biden isn't even just the leader of America, but he's the leader of the free world. That's what we call the American president. And to use the most sacred symbol of his own and now completely rejected childhood faith, to basically, like, bless what they do, with child sacrifice, for lack of a better term, it points to a real coming to head, I think, of that spiritual battle that you guys were talking about on Monday.
Yeah. Well, I just want to, again, throw this out. Like, for example, yes, this is why it's so important for Catholics who understand their faith, who want to fight for a better future for our kids, to try to do as much as we can to get rid of abortion, get rid of porn in schools. You need to vote. You need to make sure you're registered to vote. And you need to make sure, and I mean, we've done this. We've found out from good Catholics. So, like, they go to Mass every Sunday, they believe in the issues, and they're like, I forgot to vote. Yeah. You know something? You can do something about this. Go to vote.gov, find out where, if you're registered or not. They have a link to all your different states. Go find it out. And then find out about voting. And the thing is, I know a lot of us tend to be a little bit more traditional, and we like to vote on election day. But the fact is, sometimes we forget. We get too busy, something else happens, and we don't vote. And enough Catholics who don't vote, we've lost elections because of this. And so what I did, personally, I signed up and got on the permanent absentee ballot list in my state of Michigan. So I got it in the mail. And this is the election next month coming up on, it's like school board stuff. You know, that kind of stuff's important. Now, there's no school board elections here. It's just it's about our schools, how much tax money they should get. But it's important. We need people voting in these local elections and as well congressional, presidential, and Senate, that kind of stuff. So go to vote.gov, find out if you're registered, because you know what? You may not be, and find out where you're supposed to vote. Make sure you get this stuff done way ahead of time. And if you're like me and live in a state where you can get on the permanent roll, where they'll automatically send that ballot to you and you can hand it back to them in person. So, or you can vote early, but let's bank these votes. It's not about so much convincing so much. Yes, we here at the Loopcast are trying to persuade people. Okay.
In the business,
but we need to get the ballots in.
Yeah. 100%. Good reminder, Josh. Thank you. Erica found an ad. I don't think she was very convinced by it, but I think this is a good segue. So you talk about things that what just happened there was probably a better ad than anything Trump could have created for the pro-life issue. But someone decided to take their swing at creating an ad. We have a video from Gavin Newsom about abortion, if you'd like to play.
We're almost there. You're going to make it.
They're getting pulled
Trump
over.
Republicans want to criminalize young Alabama women who travel for reproductive care.
Miss?
Abortion.
I'm going to need you to step out of the vehicle, take a pregnancy test.
Stop them by taking action at righttotravel.org.
Okay.
Campaign for Democracy Group is responsible for the...
Who acted in this? Like, there's so many struggling actors in California. Someone's like, I'm going to be the Alabama cop tapping
Look,
the pregnancy
Dad, I'm
test.
On TV. Yeah.
So just quick summary for the audio listeners. Gavin Newsom funded an ad where two women are kind of
they're trying to drive to
state another, line.
They're trying to drive over state lines, and they're in Alabama, and they're hurried and they're frantic, and they get pulled over. They're like, "We're almost there," and then a cop pulls them over and says, "Hey, you need to take this pregnancy test," implying that, you know, if you're pregnant, then you can't get an abortion. You're trying to get out to get an abortion. What an insane, like, Mission Impossible concept they came up with there. No, this isn't happening. That's never going to happen. What the heck? But then you look on Twitter and there's like, man, this really nails it. Like, this was exactly what's going to be happening. Like, this is the Handmaid's Tale.
This ad is spot on.
The thing is, we want to be able to laugh at it because it is absolutely absurd. But then again, the problem is, you have like a fifth of the country, at least, who are going to be like, yep, totally. That's exactly what they want to do. I mean, you have to remember, Joe Biden, the reason he said he wanted to run for president was because of a bunch of feds and a bunch of other losers carrying tiki torches in Charlottesville. And they just made a whole massive narrative off of a lie. Like there's some groundswell for white supremacy. So like this, we laugh at it, but like these people are absolutely bonkers.
Well, Josh, you're mad at the wrong thing.
They're not just bonkers. They're mendacious.
You guys are mad at the wrong thing. I was really mad because if California was really about that action, they would have had two men in the car or trans men, because both men and women can get pregnant. Equity. So that wasn't very inclusive. They clearly didn't run this by a DEI inclusion person, because there would have been a man in there and they would have given him the pregnancy test, because listen,
You're thinking funny on that, but the fact is, this ad is targeted towards white liberal women.
And they believe that.
And they believe
that. So that's why they had two white liberal women in the ad.
Did you guys catch that poll about the biggest stalwart, as we all know, is unmarried women in their 30s, I think, for Democrats. So if unmarried women in their 30s didn't vote, we would have... Trump would win in an absolute landslide.
Yeah, there's a current, just for inside scoop on Catholic Vote, there is a current very spicy debate going on in Slack over whether we should end women's suffrage. It's tug and cheek.
If you're in the right, like, trad Catholic circles, those debates happen all the time. That's not even that's not even spicy anymore, but probably best debate had over a bar over some laughs. But
yeah, I wanted to point out the ad though. I was thinking about this, and it's just such a, and you say they're bonkers. They're not just bonkers. I want to say these are like deliberate liars, and they're like, what is the story that we can craft? Because they know people are suckers and people are not paying attention. And so, like you said, Josh, a good 20% are going to see the ad and be like, oh my gosh, what are they doing? It's going to happen. The other issue, the contrast is, I feel like conservatives on the right, we don't have to come up with lies about what liberals are going, what the country is going to look like, because it's already happening. So we can go to libs of TikTok and we can watch videos of what they're doing in the schools to trans the kids. We can see photographs and talk to detransitioners who were directly affected by this leftist ideology that a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man. Puberty blockers aren't permanent, et cetera, et cetera. But the left has to come up with these lies, like women are being stopped to take pregnancy tests roadside in order to do this. And I was trying to think about why that is. And it's the long march through the institutions. Like, they have the platform. They own it. So to come up with the next thing, the only thing they can go from here is the lie.
Yeah, and again, it's worth remembering, when Biden was vice president in 2012, he accused Mitt Romney.
I remember that.
Boring vanilla Mormon ever. He said Mitt Romney wanted to put black people back in chains, which is a lie that is so outrageous. It's like, why should I even respond to this? It's so ghastly, stupid, and evil and dumb. Like, but this is the point. Like, the left, they're like truth anarchists. They really just do not care. Like, for them, it's grabbing onto power as much as possible and gaslighting their opponents. They just, and what I love about it is that how they get mad when Trump, you know, isn't like 100% strictly factual on every last thing. He just kind of meanders and says stuff like,
he's from the head.
Actually, yeah, we got to fact check you. Fact checks. You want to fact check our guy, like Gavin Newsom's claiming that State troopers are pulling over women to give them pregnancy tests. Like, where's that? Give me a break.
So 2 points on this. One, funny about Libs of TikTok. You just said, like, she just reposts what people proudly publicly post on their social media. Yep. And unedited. They get mad at her. They get mad at Chaya, the person behind the account, because they're saying like it's somehow threatening or whatever. So
you would think they'd be happy. She's
doing
publicity.
Quite literally the opposite of what Gavin Newsom is. It's like using Hollywood and like producers to come up with a fake thing to make it glossy, whatever. She's literally just, all right, I'm just going to screen record and throw this up. And they're mad at her, not mad at Gavin Newsom for like creating a movie.
Don't tell people what we really believe.
Exactly. And then number two, it's funny you brought up Mitt Romney. I was like talking to my dad over the weekend and I was just laughing. You know, Trump went to Chick-fil-A and he ordered 30 milkshake, like in Atlanta. Now for people unfamiliar with Atlanta, like Atlanta is not would not be a friendly location for a lot of people. He goes in, he's chopping it up with the workers. They're all laughing. Like he's like, "Oh, get 30 milkshakes, get everyone a milkshake." Hilarious. Could you imagine Mitt Romney doing that?
No.
So like that was just a moment for me where I was like, politics have Trump has just completely changed politics, because I don't think even like not that what Biden said about him was true, because of course it wasn't. He didn't have the same relationship with like the black community that Trump does. Like, I think there's actually a very significant portion of minorities or disenfranchised people that love Trump and see him as an outsider because he's being politically persecuted everywhere you look. He gave out the PPP loans. Like, he got people paid. I think there's actually way more affinity than any Republican previously probably ever had. And his ability to just go places and just light up a room, like, it certainly contrasts what Biden's able to do right now. I think Biden tried to recreate that and couldn't figure out how to order on a kiosk screen. So like, that's a little bit of a problem, but I don't know. Just
I think you raised a good point though, because both Mitt Romney and Donald Trump are billionaires, right?
Yeah.
So Donald Trump comes into a Chick-fil-A in a black neighborhood in Atlanta and everyone loves him. They swarm around him. He buys milkshakes for everyone. Everyone loves it. Great times. They're yucking it up. If Mitt Romney tried to do the same thing, he would have come in there saying, I'm buying this store and you're all fired.
Ouch.
I don't lose votes.
Oh, man. Yeah, seriously. So we got to keep it moving now. So the next real thing that's been, so we talked about it on Monday. Erica, I think you caught a little bit of that show, but these college protests have really now spiraled into many more places. So there's a few updates on that. I think there's really a lot of interesting things here. So first off, it started really in Columbia as kind of ground zero for a lot of this. It's now at colleges, NYU, Yale, San Fran, University of Minnesota, University of Michigan, MIT, California State Polytechnic, Humboldt. And so some updates. They're negotiating now with the encampment in Columbia. They said they'll take down some of the tents. There's been multiple arrests. There's actually been some protests outside of politicians' homes. So there's 200 arrested at a rally outside of Chuck Schumer's house. So what's interesting to me about a lot of this is it's gotten more aggressive in some ways. At the Humboldt protest, insurrections are back. So there's a video of protesters completely just repelling police outside of just a wild video. Yeah, I don't know if we can mute this. Yeah, so just on mute, basically.
Look at the water jug. It's like
the water jug. Look, you know, this is serious and it seems dangerous, but the water jug, truly a hilarious move. Like taking a office sized water jug and bopping police over the head with it is like genuinely hilarious with the
it's like the my 10 year old.
Yeah, hopefully
the
that
problem
guy gets
is that they're
time.
Just containing them. Like use them those batons. You know? Come on.
So I was like, so after all this going on and it seems really spiraling out of control, colleges have a history of being kind of hotbeds for activism. If you think back to the 60s with the Vietnam War protests, or even as recently as the George Floyd protests, it's not surprising to see protests. I think what's surprising more to me is that this protest, the contents of the protest feels different, because we're talking about the Middle East, Palestine and Israel. Neither of them really involve America. Like Israel is an ally of America for sure. And like,
we
always talk about global
interest. Sure, yeah.
We're funding both sides of this, no question. But it's not like we're talking about sending American soldiers into Korea or Vietnam or something like that. Or at least with George Floyd, it's like, okay, something that happened in Minneapolis. Like the global implications of this, I understand, because we have a lot more immigrants at these colleges. And then also there's a social contagion aspect of it where college kids feel kind of empty. They want to be a part of something larger than themselves, want to feel like they're on the right side of a conflict. I watched this video of someone going around and asking, if I could make this point real quick, Mercer. Kid was going around and asking students at NYU, hey, should Hamas release the hostages that they're holding right now? And there's like white kids who are just like, no, I don't think they should. Like they're Zionist. Like they either felt uncomfortable answering or their answer was no, they should not. Like, what do you mean? Did you think about what's been done to the Palestinian people? And I understand it's very complex. Like there's a lot going on there that I don't think we understand. But regardless, this isn't an American question. It's not like asking, does America have hostages we should let go? Or like, we have hostages, American hostages somewhere. Like this, it just feels different. I wonder, like, I just want to put it up to both of you. Why do you think this has gotten so large with something that doesn't involve America directly?
Well, I'd like them to follow up with a question like, okay, so if you don't think they should be released, should Hamas kidnap some more hostages? I mean, like...
The answer would be yes, I think, for apparently. A lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Israel is faultless either. But again, my position is this isn't an American. Why do I need to take a position here? Why do I need to be one side or the other? This is a complex conflict in the Middle East. Like, call me America first. But I'm like, we have plenty of homeless problems here. We have a border problem. We have security problems here on our own soil. Why? So Erica, sorry, just go on, but I'm confused with all this.
Yeah, no, I think it's confused. I think you put your finger on it saying it has to do with the age of the protesters too. And this is why we see the students in universities have always, I mean, think back to Les Miserables, right? Like you've got the students in the streets of Paris and you've got then you have the students with the Bolsheviks and you have students in the 60s. In the 80s, it was the Blood Diamonds in South Africa. Sometimes the cause makes more sense, but again, we've said this before. Tiffany Justice makes this point in my interview with her with Moms for Liberty, that the point is not the issue. The issue is not the issue. The issue is the revolution. And for young people, it's a deep need to have purpose and mass global purpose in this case in their life, and it really speaks to that deep need. And they're untethered. They're untethered from tradition. They're untethered from God. And so you fill that void, but man is a creature who worships something. And right now they're worshiping Hamas. And they call it in the chants, they call it Hamas, the beloved, right? Like it's filling that void. And just one more point there, you know, before we get into the Israeli, why Israel, why now, that it's sort of the flip side of that coin that John Paul II called on, right? John Paul II was known for his love of the youth. I mean, think of World Youth Days. And he recognized that at this time period of a person's life, what, like 18 to 35, you're finding your purpose, you're kind of solidifying and bring a man up in the way he shall go and he shall not stray from it. If you make a choice for God at that point in your life, it's unshakable. And if you, well, it's shakable, but it's basically unshakable. If you're making a choice for leftist causes, the left knows it's very hard to get out of it later on in life. So it's always true. Been go for the youth, go for the youth. It's the flip side of the JP too. Go ahead.
It's very true that though, like when from age like 18 to 22, the views that you form during that time period get solidified. And also what, you know, your view of the world, like at that time. So like I tried to tell people this, the most Republican age, if you look over all of them, is not actually the boomers. The most Republican generation is Gen X. And of those who were born in 1969. Part of that could be self-selective, you know, like the moms and dads having babies that year weren't getting high on dope and the whole 60s stuff. But it's also the case that 22 years later, you're seeing what? Like the Cold War's over, Reagan, Bush, they were very successful. And so your view of the world is very good. So your view of the world at that time makes a big difference. America was confident. We were doing good things. People saw us as a force for good. Since then, though, academia has tightened its screws and our culture as well. And we've raised two generations of people who hate their own country. And we've done it. We've allowed it to happen. We've allowed people in our own country to grow up hating where their own country, their own culture, their own history, their own traditions. And so when that happens, They've been fed year after year after year. Oh, America, slavery, Indians, we treated everyone like garbage. We're horrible, evil people, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? So this comes along, Israel, Hamas, and they're like, Israel, they're colonizers. They're just all this evil stuff. And they, it's like, you've already made, it's like catching fire. Of course, these kids are going to be.
And they're of the West.
Right. And notice that it's the exact same accusations against Israel that we've been hearing against, you know, white people in general from like Ibram X. Kendi. Like you said, it's the same exact accusation. So again, the point is the revolution. The point isn't it. Israel happens to be the convenient conduit right now for the left to, you know, continue its push to break down, to queer the world, to revolutionize. And there's also the element of sort of ingrained anti-Semitism on the left and the extreme right as well. So it's an easy kind of, you know, push into, okay, Israel evil and all that for leftist causes. But very much it's the same language you hear from on all of the DEI. Right.
Which just makes you think if you actually went to a college campus and just talked about patriotism, like all the ways in America is such an awesome country. Like we landed on the moon. We liberated Europe from, you know, World War II. We did all these things, all these great technologies, all people from all over the world are able to rise up and, you know, become successful. People would lose their mind. Can you imagine going to Columbia campus and talking about how awesome and patriotic this country is? People would lose it.
Well, so another thought too, because I of course want to weigh out everything that's going on. I don't think Israel is blameless, and I think that there are people that weaponize the anti-Semitism thing in order to shut down reasonable debate or to ask reasonable questions.
I think that's fair.
I don't doubt that's out there. I want to just reason it all that. I don't think they've been blameless in how they've treated Gaza and everything like that. But if this really was about because there's Palestinian Christians and all that. If this really was about like a global struggle or suffering or something like that, we would have seen campus protests about the Armenian genocide of Christians over there. Or we still have Christians being slaughtered in Egypt for their faith right now. Basically, if you proclaim you're Christian in certain parts of Egypt, you'll get killed on spot. Like I've talked to people who have been over there. Nigeria, they're slaughtering Christians. So there's so much. I think that speaks more to what you're saying. Right.
You're being too rational.
Basically, this feels like a big distraction. Same with Ukraine. Like it feels like both are being used as conduits for larger agendas rather than this true search to like quell injustice around the world or for the United States to be the big hero here, because there is so much. It feels so selective what we're just choosing to become involved with. And that's what frustrates me more, because everyone's so distracted by these things to the point that we have members of Congress getting together on Saturdays to wave flags and send our money overseas to fund both sides of this conflict, which it feels like I'm on crazy pills. Like we still haven't done anything about the border. We have a Catholic president making the sign of the cross in Florida to support his quest to kill more children, to get back into office as an 80 something year old man who clearly has dementia. We have stories of people like squatting people's homes in New York City that are illegal immigrants, killing Americans. And it's like the focus just seems so off. And so I think that people like me that are like, I just see this as no one's addressing the real issues. The person coming closest to that is Trump. And I think if anything, the real problem is we have entrenched bureaucrats making decisions on Americans' lives that we feel like we have no democratic say in, because I vote and yet these bureaucrats are the ones making all these decisions, sending money over, not doing anything about the border, not taking care of our homeless, not taking care of the economy. Like if you look at how hard it is for young people to buy homes, what we've done with our dollar, inflating it there, purchasing power way down, like those matter to me and my children. And like the idea that all of this distraction could potentially lead to me or my children being sent overseas to fight a war over nothing is that's my biggest concern. And maybe I just needed to get that all off my chest. I'm going to get off the soapbox. That's not usually what I do.
Get off the leather couch, Tom. Yeah.
I'm so frustrated with like, this just feels like a massive distraction. And all of these kids are just acting like children that have no idea of what the real thing is going on. They just want to be on the right side or whatever.
Yeah. And it is a massive distraction. I think it's also, and the massive distraction isn't just from, you know, the bureaucracy and what's going on, but it's from, it's weaponizing these kids against their own country, against their own families, because it distracts them. It makes you think that the most important things in life are out there, that the most important thing of life in life is over in some country you've never been to and you can't even like recite the past three presidents of, because they don't even know who's the leader of Israel and who runs Syria and who's the leader of Iran. They don't know these things, but it's distracting them from the business of living the good and flourishing life here, because radicals know on both sides of the horseshoe, right? Like left and right. They know that a man or a woman who is focused first on living a good human life, on pursuing virtue, on some semblance of normalcy, on building a family, on participating in local government, participating in local community activities, that these sort of normal life things, they're free. They're free of leftist control and leftist power. And they don't want that. So the distraction is, in order to be meaningful, to have a meaningful life, you have to worry about all this stuff that you have no control over, instead of focusing on becoming a free man or woman. What the real meaning of liberal education, right? So that's my hot take.
I like it.
Hot takes, welcome. Good to be back. We're so back. Erica's back.
It's the double espresso, people. I'm like, can't stop talking.
Oh gosh, I feel like at the height of our powers. I feel like the big three is back. This is awesome. So we're gonna have a meaty Twilight Zone. So I'm just gonna shift it there right now, Erica. You are back, ladies first. Twilight Zone.
Here I go. Well, me and the ladies, Candace Owens becomes Catholic. Everyone on here probably already saw this. Look at that pantsuit. I wish I could rock that kind of. Look at the outfit. Very Marian blue and blue flowers. Okay. So Candace Owens, she announced on X her conversion to Catholicism. And my first thought when I hear anyone has converted to the Catholic Church is hooray, more grace, more sacraments. That was not the reaction of Catholic left.
That seems pretty reasonable.
I know, right? Like she went to confession. She got confirmed. I don't know if she was baptized or if she was already baptized.
No, she was baptized. I don't know if she got confirmed. She was baptized.
Didn't Pope Francis, he's on record for saying the church is for everyone, everyone, everyone.
Oh my gosh, margins. Yes, yeah. The margins.
Huh. Interesting.
And regardless of anything Candace Owens has ever said, yeah, apparently while I was out on maternity leave, there was a big throwdown with Ben Shapiro. She got booted or she left the Daily Wire. I did not follow any of that. So I was just genuinely good. She entered the church, more grace. She just upped her chance of salvation by millions and millions of percentage points. But we aren't allowed to just be happy because we are so tribal. And so immediately Catholic X reacts. I don't know if we have some of those tweets up here.
I guess we can understand.
They're like, she's an anti-Semite. She said horrible things.
The papal Austin. Biographer.
Austin Avery.
Austin said
always good for a downy
amalgam. The amalgam of Christian nationalism and Catholic traditionalism in the United States, it's a thing. Awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Someone said she should think about repenting for racism. That was a religion director at Fordham said that.
Someone called for public penance. They were like, the church should never have welcomed her unless she did public penance. I'm like, what, hair, shirt, and bare feet through D.C.? What is she supposed to do? We haven't done that since the Middle Ages. Biden first. I know. Biden and get Candace. Anyway, guys, the only proper response for someone who believes in the grace of the sacraments to a conversion story like this is congratulations, welcome home, the adventure begins. Because we are all on the way. And yes, I think celebrity... we had a post, Stevie put up a Twitter post or tweet. It's not a tweet anymore. The post about multiple celebrities who have converted in the last year. Very exciting. But we have to treat them, you know, I think congratulate them publicly and then leave them alone. Let them figure out this adventure. Let them figure out this ongoing conversion that is the Catholic faith. Try not to put the spotlight on them too much, for sure. I mean, Kanye West, case in point, like everyone's like, oh my gosh, he's a Christian now. And then, whoa. Got a little spicy.
Kanye.
But Kanye. Hopefully he's still working on it.
Yeah, but like it is, there's like, something interesting in there because first off, super exciting. We have like Shia LaBeouf, Rob Schneider, comedian, Tammy Peterson. Like all of those things just it says to me that the message, timeless message of Catholicism is still appealing to people at all levels of society. But I think maybe the problem I have with this is like, I feel like I'm endlessly lectured by very specific people in the Catholic left in the Vatican about I need to be more welcoming and I need to reach to the margins and I need to stop maligning people and get rid of my unconscious bias, all of those things. But as soon as someone that maybe doesn't agree with everything they have to say converts, their first answer is not welcome to the church, so happy to have you. It's anger. And so that to me just reveals like, well, you're
it's
a hypocrite.
Joyless. It's joylessness and just.
And what did you believe?
Yeah. And maybe they were lying before.
Exactly. Like, what did you believe before? Like, you don't actually believe that this is the place for salvation for everyone, for sinners.
Welcome to stranger.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I'm like, I'm so tired of it. And then Dignitas Infinita comes out and you get outreach ministries from Father James Martin saying, well, we need to consider all the perspectives. And like, here's maybe some thoughts about.
Oh, but Fiducia Supplicans was like doctrine the moment it dropped. Yeah.
Yeah. So you just, I guess you just got to drown out all those noises, but note the people that are responding that way and definitely, you know, keep a little flag by them about like, interesting. It's going to be.
Well, they usually have flags in their bio that, you know.
Oh, right. They have the flags.
That kind of helped you figure that
rainbow
out.
Rainbow flag.
They're big flags in the bio type people for sure.
Yeah. I think rainbow flag added a few more stripes while I was out too. We had a guy.
Yeah. It keeps getting uglier.
Yeah. He had, it gets uglier and there's like fists on it now too. So yeah.
Yeah. And then some people are mad because they aren't on the flag. Yeah. I put out a tweet like the most important flags in America right now. We have the Ukraine flag at the top. Number two, the pride flag. Number three, the trans flag. Four, the surrender flag. Five, Israel flag. Six, Palestine flag. And then number seven, the racist, xenophobic colonizer flag paying for all the other flags. And that's the American flag. So interesting how that works.
On point.
Josh, do you want? Well, actually, I think I'm up. Okay, I'll go. Sorry, Josh. I'm first in the line here. So Chris Rufo continues to be an absolute menace to society. Had a latest expose about academic dishonesty at UCLA. And the reason why this matters, and because this isn't the new, he started this maybe, but like discovering a lot of the plagiarism. The reason this matters, we're talking about the UCLA School of Medicine, okay? So this is what a general day at UCLA School of Medicine, like what you'd be a part of to be a future doctor of America. So students were subjected to lessons on, quote, indigenous woman. I don't even know how to pronounce it with W-O-M-X-N, but that's how they did it. And two spirits. Future doctors had to take a class on structural racism and were led in a Free Palestine chant by a Hamas praising guest speaker. School made plans to segregate students by race for courses on left-wing ideology. And two of its psychiatric students champion revolutionary suicide when we're talking about medical aid and dying. So it's not like this stuff doesn't matter because this all may have happened under our noses, but it's radically changed how our future doctors are being educated. So what they have at UCLA is called a Cultural North Star. It's a DEI program at the medical school, and it's led by a lady named Natalie J. Perry. Her official title is called Cultural North Star Lead, which is a new one. I haven't heard of that one. So unsurprisingly, when you write your PhD on DEI initiatives and you get hired to work at a DEI program, your PhD often includes plagiarism, I guess. So the latest one busted, she had plagiarism from at least 10 different papers. And to me, the funniest thing about it was pretty lazy plagiarism.
Yeah.
Much of it came from the first page of the papers that she cited, which are like, that's a classic like college freshman move of like, I'm going to try to sound smart. Let's go find out JSTOR. Yeah, that's like rookie stuff. But this is her PhD dissertation at UVA. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think more of this is just going to keep coming out when you have an entire industry predicated upon Marxism, right?
Like, if Rufo wants to ask us for more money to go after more researchers to do this stuff, you know, show... Take my money, like, please.
Sign me up. But yeah,
well, it's funny that you said women. Not do this. You said women spelled with an X, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't want to be. They don't want men in that, so they got to X out the E, so that you know, X out the men out of it. You know,
exactly.
Yeah, because men are the worst, dude.
See, that reminds me because like, so conservatives talk about, you know, rhinos, Republicans name only. So some Catholics are like, oh. There are Cinos, Catholics in name only. I'm like, it just, you know, it just doesn't work. How about this? We'll do what these guys did. We'll X out the thing. How about Catholic? We spell it differently with the Y. I showed them some Catholic. They're like, Catholic with the Y? What do you mean? What's the Y stand for? Yeah, nothing. Exactly.
Yeah.
<It's> like,
yeah, no.
So like James Martin, he's Catholic. With the Y. Like, what do you mean with the Y?
Josh.
That doesn't make any sense. Me. Yes, that's
I'm
the
putting
point.
A future bet
it
down.
It doesn't make any sense.
Future bet down. We're going to have a new word for Catholics. It's going to be Catholics with an X. C-A-T-H-O-L-I-X. Catholics.
Well, that's why I'm throwing next out 5 years. Catholic with the Y.
But that actually might happen. I'm saying next 5 years. You might see a suggestion for that somewhere. I'm done.
Catholics.
I'm done.
Catholic
Josh.
With a Y.
Well, I don't have really much of a, I didn't want to do much of a Twilight Zone on this. I just thought, I saw this interesting study. I wanted to share it with our listeners. I'm on the board of a Chesterton school. So I'm always looking at school stuff and I'm very happy that for my school at St. Michael, my kids go no cell phones. You know, you come in, you have to put the cell phone down and you go to the classroom. Well, they just came out with this new paper from Norway. They're banning smart phones in schools. Here's the findings. Significantly decreased doctor visits for psychological problems and diseases amongst girls. It reduced bullying among both sexes. It improved girls' GPA and attendance rates. And it had the largest effect sizes were amongst the poorest kids. So this seems like an like win-win-win-win-win all around. So
yeah, no-brainer.
A lot of us would think common sense, no way having cell phones. But I talked to some of these parents like, well, I want to talk to my kids or whatever. You know what you can do? There's this thing called a telephone, and you can call the school, and they can talk to the kid if they need to.
Right.
But I managed to get through 13 years of school and then 4 years of college not having a cell phone at all. You know what? You'll survive.
How'd you do it?
I mean, it's amazing, right? This is before TV.
You had paper maps of the campus that you could find the buildings on, Pogo, and that you could.
Did you guys use?
My kids, I'm older than Google. Okay, yeah. Get over it.
Which is true. Did you have to use the thing where you like put coins in that stationary thing, and then there'd be?
It was like a phone on a rope. It was the weirdest thing. Like, what is this thing? Hello.
I did use that.
Payphone.
In high school, I'd call my mom to come pick me up. Did you see the other study, Josh? This came out early April, I think, from Northwestern about the dropping IQ. Americans' IQ is actually dropping. And it was interesting. The study said one of the obviously
reflected in our political leadership.
Smart. Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, look at Congress, although it's never been great. But the dropping IQ definitely tracks on with cell phone usage. But the other factor was they pointed to a lack of handwriting. Kids aren't handwriting anymore, and that this correlates with the dropping IQ. Correlation is not causation, but I ordered my kids a few cursive manuals for the next school year. I was like, oh no, got to fight the IQ decline.
That's a lost skill.
So no smartphones and learn cursive.
Yeah, this all just seems so obvious. Like, why do we even need to, like, do you need a study to tell you that? Like, have you ever opened your eyes? And I think I've even just been thinking about, like, you guys have both done it. I've actually really only, I think in college I got my first, like, smartphone. But, and as more immersive, like, AI or even, like, the Apple Vision, like, as that kind of comes around, people will think about this more, I think. But, like, experiencing life devoid of external inputs is something that so few people actually experience in a meaningful or significant period of time, because they always have a phone on them. So you're always reachable for whatever, or you're thinking about, oh, something happened, I got to pull out my camera. And a lot of this isn't even like people's faults. It's like they were designed by very intelligent people. What's scariest is seeing children. If you just hand a really young kid a phone, like a toddler, it's scary how fast they could figure it out. And they were designed that way. They were designed in order to do that. So like, even in my adult life, this is funny, we're talking about it for students, but like, and I actually really like want people to think about this as well. It's designed to get you like this, and you need to have a very premeditative and use the tools available to you to legitimately fight back against this, to a point where it's like, you need to regulate your own relationship with the new technologies that come out, but specifically phones, because all the best experiences in life come devoid of external outputs. It's like when you have a really meaningful conversation, you sit down with someone, maybe at a bar with a friend or something like that. You have a family dinner, you have guests come over. All of that does not have Bones Evolve. You leave that feeling satisfied, refreshed, true leisure time. I think so little of true leisure time comes from phones, specifically technology. It's like very short bursts of dopamine, but rather than that long term. So even on a life, I'm not even talking about for kids. That's a non-starter. They should not be in schools.
Yeah, but I mean, again, I just want to give it, it reminds me of what we talked about it months before, of how Franciscan University had those scholarships for those students that, hey, put away the smartphone, no smartphone, and you'll get the scholarship. And these kids, they end up like participating more in the school and more activities. And
even
and
kids
more
not
people.
On the scholarship ended up participating.
Yeah.
It was but so like, healthy.
It was very good Catholic instinct. So I thought that was I wanted to give them another shout out. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. It's really awesome. Interesting. Like to just watch the teenagers. Cause like it's Gen X and millennials are on their phones all the time.
Okay. So,
like, addicted, but isn't it true that generations, they react against their parents? So like, I'm excited to see if Gen Alpha, Gen Z, they start to swing the other way. And I see it in the homeschool population here. The kids, like the parents will be like, okay, text me when you get there. And they'll be like, I don't want to be a screenager. That's not cool, mom.
I've never heard that.
I don't want to be
dropping new stuff here. Yeah. What is this?
Screenager. Miriam's off at college and she won't take pictures to send us because she's like, I don't want to pull out my phone. It's so uncool to have my phone out at stuff. And
you know
it's
what's insane,
like,
too?
Maybe it's swinging the other
does
way.
Does she have a smartphone?
She does have a smartphone. Yes, yeah. She does.
Erica, you know
what's
crazy?
But she's regulating it well, though.
She's smart with her smartphone. Got it?
Yeah. I know. I'm tempted to say, when I send my daughter to college next year, I'm tempted to say, okay, we're going to give you this much aid, you know, but then if you go... If you get a dumb phone, you get this much more.
Foreign aid.
So you know, she's gone to what, Minnesota, North Dakota?
So one of my favorite trends too that I see, it's funny you brought up pictures, like as a photographer, what I see is people are selling cameras that they find in their like grandparents' attics or their parents' attic. Film cameras.
Yeah.
Like the only way that photography was possible for the majority of photography was to take it on film. And so people are like, selling them for a lot of money, and it's becoming like a TikTok trend of like people trying to shoot photography on film, which I know is kind of counterintuitive as we talked about the phones thing, but there are people that legitimately as a hobby now just shoot on film. So like film prices have gone up a ton and camera prices have gone up a ton, but it is a really cool, like getting back into the art of like understanding light, understanding how to use a camera. Like it's the movement has gone more that direction as opposed to like we all have a much better camera in our phone than technically a film camera could produce. But people are still choosing to go that film direction of the photography community, which is like really very interesting.
Interesting, but I'll never do it. I'm glad to be done with film. And I like my instant K-cup coffee. So
yeah. And that makes me sick.
I don't care.
That's just really deep in my stomach. It's disgusting. Drinking dirty mold water, but
whoa, that's the way to end it.
We're back. We're so back. Erica, thank you for joining again. The fans missed you. We were barely staying afloat without you.
I missed y'all.
So if you want to support the show, as I mentioned before, Champions Club, best place to do that, loopcast@catholicvote.org. If you want to email me, you can do that at loopcast@gmail.com. I've gotten some good feedback recently. I appreciate it, guys. I do read that. I haven't responded, but I am going to soon. And if you want to help us too, reviews, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, leave us a review. 5 stars helps us a ton, which can help us the most. You can pray for us. I'm not kidding when I ask for that. Happy St. Fidelis Feast Day, but please pray for the program. We're praying for you. And we'll end with St. Thomas More, St. Fidelis, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Pray for us. We will see you guys on Friday. Peace.